Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Chastity Jones. Welcome and happy Father's Day. Today we remember that no matter the state of our human relations with parents, children, and others, God our Heavenly Father loves us and cares for us without fail. Welcome to worship, no matter where you are on your faith journey. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio and to all who join us online through our website, ZionLeeStuber.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you're visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. Thank you to Joan Reinhardt for sponsoring the radio broadcast this morning in memory of Roger Reinhardt. The bulletins are sponsored by Zion members. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The sermon this morning is titled Nothing and Never by Pastor Jan. Thank you to everyone who helped with VBS, either through donating supplies or your time. The children had a wonderful week learning and serving God together. And none of it would have been possible without your help and prayers. The Church Council has determined it is time to update our pictorial church directory. The dates for photography will be Wednesday through Saturday, September 10th through the 13th, 2025. You may sign up for photography sessions and on the sheets on the table by the entryway, the easel in the Northex, or online at www.ucdir.com. On Sunday, June 29th, the Zion Fellowship will host an ice cream social following the worship service. There will be vanilla ice cream with lots of toppings. Come and enjoy time with friends. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us join in worship.
It's Father's Day, a time to celebrate all the wonderful fathers out there. Not just for being shining examples of how great a dad can be, but also for being wonderful reflections of who God is. Like God, you've provided for us. You've shown us how much you care from the very beginning. With God, you've guided us, helping us navigate through every decision, big or small. You've been present. It sounds so simple, but it's so important. Just knowing you're there when we need you. You've been patient with us, helping us to grow and learn from all the mistakes we make. And like God, you forgive us, offering us grace so those mistakes can never define us. And most of all, you've loved us unconditionally as only someone filled with God's love could. So today, we thank you, dads, for all of this and so much more. Happy Father's Day.
And we gather this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you please join with me now in our call to worship? To God be all glory, the Holy Trinity of power and love. For there is no place which is without you, O God, and no time when you are not there. For you are the beginning and the end, the source of all that is in the wonder of creation. And yet you take us by the hand and lead us through the life of Christ. Through your Holy Spirit, we are gifted again and again and are called forth toward a future in which we are surrounded with your love and grace everlasting. We praise and worship you, O God, for there is no other like you. Will you please rise now and join together in our opening hymn, This is My Father's World.
Sing.
convinced by the Holy Spirit of God's goodness and grace toward us, let us pray together now our prayer of confession. Most holy and gracious God, you are the wind and the breath that sustains us. You inspire the words we hear and speak and sing. And yet we confess that at times our minds and hearts have gone cold. We find ourselves too preoccupied with our own plans and fears. We are more concerned with proving ourselves right than we are with living rightly. And we have drifted away. Lord God, sweep away the dullness of our minds that we may know you more fully. Clear our hearts of those things that clutter them, that we may love Jesus more deeply. Banish from our wills any weakness that prevents us from following him more faithfully. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I share with you the good news from the Apostle Paul from the reading today from Romans. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Neither life nor death, nor angels, nor powers, nor principalities can ever separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. To him be the glory. Amen. Forgiven and set free, let us greet one another with the peace of Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Before we begin our time of prayer this morning, I have a few things I'd like to share with you. First of all, I'd like to thank Judy Brown, or Judy Lave, I'm getting my names mixed up this morning, for attending annual meeting this past week up at St. Cloud. We had a wonderful time. The speakers were great. And Judy just presented me with some awards that our church has received from the denomination and signed by our general minister and president of the UCC. A thank you from them for being 5 for 5 congregation in the United Church of Christ in the year 2024. Congratulations, Zion. That's quite an honor. There's an additional certificate in here, too, for the generosity of this congregation for ministries in the church's wider mission. So I will post these or hand them off to Bob that he can post them, too. But wanted you to be aware of that. Okay, now I get to talk about Jackie Brown. Happy anniversary to Nate and Jackie Brown today. Also, a huge thanks to her for spearheading our Vacation Bible School Week. What a thrill it was to come in and see so many children, many more than we had last year. I'm not sure of the final number, but it was somewhere around 28. So that was a really fantastic turnout. And I want to offer special thanks to Barb and Essie Mostaghimi for hosting the camp counselors who came from Green Lake to volunteer as teachers for Vacation Bible School, as well as the many volunteers that it takes from our congregation to pull off an event like that. Really proud of the work and ministry of this congregation as we support our young people and our families. I have a couple of other announcements, too. Bear with me. Oh, this is a happy one. Happy birthday to Mary Jane Voss. Happy anniversary, of course, to Nate and Jackie. Happy birthday on Tuesday to my hero, Judy Lave. And healing prayers for Sylvia Reinhardt. We ask for continued healing prayers for Decker Schwartz. Many of you know that Decker was kicked by a cow. What a scary thing for anybody, but especially for a little toddler. He was checked out. He was sent home from the hospital, but they are going to continue to monitor his condition. So please pray for them. Also, prayers should continue for little Hilda Kale. They had anticipated that Hilda would be discharged this week from the hospital, but she did run into a couple of obstacles with her breathing and a possible infection, and they're continuing to monitor that. They look for her to return home, actually go home for the first time next week. And Sue has been up with Brandon and Shyla and the grandchildren, taking care of them. Kevin experienced a stroke this week. So that family has had more than their share of stress. Kevin has now returned home. I'm sure you'll be happy to know that. But let's continue to keep that family in our prayers. Prayers of comfort for the family of Lisa Penny Johnson. Such a marvelous servant. And we want to hold in prayer the entire family, especially those kids. Stu and Sue Kringen. Stu remains up in the Twin Cities. Sue is up there with them, staying with a son. Marilyn Johnson, Arden, and Steve Clyde's brother, Tom. At this time, those are the prayer concerns that I'm aware of. If there are any others, please let me know at this time. If there are none, let us continue worship with prayer. We bind ourselves, O God, today in the strong name of the Trinity, and we name you Holy Three in One, One in Three. And we claim our place in your community of love. We're embraced, loving God, in the community that is at the heart, not just of our church, but also in the communities that is the very heart of who you are, with millions of others around the world. And within that great love of yours, we're held and treasured. And we know that as we pray, you've already heard us before the words cross our lips. You always hear our prayers, and we ask, Lord, that you hear our prayers this morning. We pray for this hurting world, that people who want to make war will one day want to make peace, that the hungry of this world will find food. that refugees all over this world will find shelter and a sense of place. Our hearts are especially heavy this morning with the news of the killing of former Speaker of the House and her husband. We're in grief, Lord, not only for their family, but for ourselves, that we are living through these times of deep tension and anger and mistrust. We pray as well for the other state legislator and his wife who endured surgery after multiple gunshot wounds. Forgive us, Lord, for we all play a part, a role in peacemaking in this world. Help us unite as one people of one nation for which our ancestors lived and died. We pray for all who suffer this morning, for ones that we love dearly, and for those we barely know. We ask your guiding presence in the healing touch of all the hands that help the sick and suffering, and that you send your spirit of comfort to protect all who still need you. Stu, Hilda, Decker, Marilyn, Arden, Tom. And we thank you and praise you for the life and ministry of your servant, Lisa, for all the ways that her energy and imagination and love will continue to live on among all those who knew her and loved her. For this, we are so deeply grateful, Lord. We ask your blessing of strength, courage, and hope for all who will continue to mourn her loss. Surround them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, your Spirit in whom there is no death, but only life. And God, we pray also for those who are joyful this day. We celebrate their movement through the milestones of this world, births and graduations, new jobs, new relationships. We remember those moments of blessing in our own lives, and we thank you, Lord, for a chance to use our lives to your glory. We bind ourselves to you, O God, to the strong name of the Trinity, and we name you Creator, Christ, Holy Spirit. We name you as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Be with us, be within us, behind us, and before us. For we pray this in the name of Christ, who taught us all to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture lesson is Romans 8, verses 28 through 39. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order for him that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? If it is God who justifies, who is to condemn? It is Christ who died, or rather who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or distress be persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word. Amen.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations upon all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A psychologist was walking around the room during a lecture about stress management. She was holding a glass, kind of like this one. It was full of water. Everybody in the room expected her to ask, "Is the glass half full or half empty?" But that wasn't what she was after. Instead, she asked, "How heavy is this glass of water?" And some people said 8 ounces, some people said 20 ounces. And then she replied to them, "It really doesn't matter how much this glass actually weighs. It all depends on how long I hold it. If I hold it for just a minute, it's not a problem. If I hold it for 5 minutes, well, my arm's going to start to ache. And if I hold it for an hour, my arm will go numb and paralyzed. And in each case, it really doesn't matter the weight of this glass of water, because it doesn't change. But the longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes." The psychologist went on with her lesson that day, and she said, "The stresses and worries of life are like that glass of water. Think about them for a while, and nothing really happens. You think about them a little bit longer, and they begin to hurt. And if you think about them all day long, you're going to be incapable of doing anything. The longer you hold on to that weight, the heavier it becomes. Now here's a short one-sentence summary of that lesson I heard from a pastor in Colorado. One of the mistakes we make is that we keep trying to have a better past. Life just doesn't work that way, does it? Try as we might, our past is never, ever going to get any better. In fact, it didn't happen to the nation of Israel. Doesn't happen to us as individuals. Sooner or later, we come to realize that the past can't be changed. But the good news is, it can be redeemed. And the future can actually improve if you're willing to let go of the weight of the past. Let me explain to you what I mean here. Years ago, when I was still an energetic resident at a big hospital over in Rochester, I got a call over to the Genro's building. That was the building that was serving patients who had some sort of mental or behavioral problems. Many people nowadays call that the psych ward. And unfortunately, the people who need that kind of care are often facing a stigma. And that's a shame. When I arrived there on the unit, the nurse prepared me a little bit for the visit. He told me about Richard. That's not his real name, of course, and he came from out of state. Richard, he told me, was a prominent farmer, and he rose to power as a state legislator. He was well loved by his community. He served on many local boards and agencies. He was a trusted advisor all the way around. Richard was a pillar of his church. He served as a Bible study leader. He sang in the choir. He spoke at many people's funerals. And he never missed a Sunday unless, of course, he was over at the state capitol. And I thought to myself, what in the world could be wrong with a person like that? A man who had obviously a strong faith, a man who was loved and trusted by so many people, a respected leader making important decisions on behalf of hundreds of people. And when I sat down with him, Richard told me more about his life. From the outside looking in, of course, it looked like he had everything going for him. He had a life anybody would have envied. He had a college education in agriculture and public policy. He had a near perfect marriage to his high school sweetheart. He had successful adult children. What could have landed him there in that terribly lonely place? So I asked him, Richard, how is it that you happened to come here to this place for help? And with that, Richard just slumped over and he buried his face in his hands, weeping the tears that he'd probably been holding back for a very long time. And then, after a few moments, he raised up his head and he looked me in the eye and he said, Pastor, I am not who people think I am. And then with that painful admission to me, Richard began to describe a confusing, frightening event that had occurred with him and several other boys at camp when he was about 9 or 10 years old. And with his friends there at camp, it was something there that happened maybe for a 5-10 minute span. But that one event became the driving influence of his life for the next 60 years. I can't tell you, of course, what Richard did, but even if I could, it wouldn't really matter anyway. So we began to talk for a while longer. The real problem for Richard wasn't that original failure, but the way that mistake had ruled his life for the next 6 decades. Sure, all the appearances of integrity and intelligence and self-control were all there, all of them in his life. But behind every single achievement, every diploma, every award, all the election returns, behind all that was this ugly, cruel Pharaoh, this taskmaster cracking the whip of guilt and shame, reminding him of something that God had forgiven him long, long, long ago. Pastor, I'm not the person people think I am. And I'm not really sure what took hold of my heart at that moment, because I'm not especially skilled in that area. But I said, Richard, none of us are. None of us can ever say that we are truly and fully the kind of person that everybody thinks we are. But God knows who we are. And yes, the people who surround us, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, our families, they often don't know what's driving us either. What hidden guilt we might be carrying, what silent sins might still have a grip on us, what inner tyrant is still demanding more and more perfection every single day, loading us up with that soul-crushing weight. Until one day, we can bear it no more. And we come to the realization that it's true. We really might not be completely the kind of women or men that people think we are. We all wear some sort of mask. We all try to do our best. And yet, neither are those same people who are also bearing their own load of burdens. Because you see, until we drink deeply of that life-giving water of grace, We're all in a way like that truly good man I visited on the psychiatric unit that day so long ago. And so, friends, there are reasons why you and I can rejoice in the love of God, but there's still work for us to do. I want to share with you what I continued to say to Richard that day. Richard, I want you to hear this. You've probably heard these words many, many times in your life, in confirmation, at funerals you've given. You probably even taught this in your Bible study at church. But today I want you to hear these words as though you're hearing them for the very first time. And I opened up to the Epistle of Romans, chapter 8. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And with that very first sentence, Richard fell down to his knees, he folded his hands, and he wept the tears of that 10-year-old boy. And I kept on reading. Who is in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. For I am certain that neither death nor life, nor powers nor principalities, nor the past, nor things to come can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Zion, I want you to hear those words today as if for the very first time. I kept talking with Richard and I said, Richard, that same Christ came back from camp with you after that terrible day. The Son of God tenderly held your hand. He introduced you to the young lady who would eventually become your wife. He guided you while you were at university. His Father God caused those beautiful crops to grow up in your fields. His Holy Spirit entered and stirred into the hearts of people who went to your Bible study and voted for you. So tell me, Richard, who are you? Are you in a position to condemn yourself? And if God is for you, who can be against you? Who are we really in the eyes of such a wonderful, wonderful God? And without ever even answering that question, Richard finally looked up. His eyes were still red and swollen, but those awful lines and contortions in his face were gone. He smiled. We prayed. He went home the next day. Now, of course, I have no illusions about my own limitations as a pastor. I really don't. And this wasn't about me. Not at all. I'm no miracle worker. I'm not a psychologist. And I'm certainly not God's special agent. And yet God, the Creator, the Christ, the Holy Spirit, took that moment in Richard's disease and death and raised that dear servant back to life. Through the power of those immortal words from Paul's letter to the Romans, God supplied the surgery and the medicine that the psych unit didn't have on hand. God had been working on Richard all those years. And you know what? God's been working on us too. You and I are living in a world where accidents and disasters can happen to people, even to the most careful people. We've got difficulties that are sometimes of our own making. There are natural disasters that blow down our homes and businesses during the night. There are people that take advantage of us and hurt us. And we're not always able to control the forces that cause us grief. No matter how hard we try, how careful we try to be, we can't avoid the kind of hurt that the Apostle Paul was talking about in his letter to the Romans. Suffering and anguish and sorrow. And yet, sometimes the most important battle in our lives is not Mother Nature, not the people who are trying to hurt us, or the forces of evil beyond our control, as intimidating that they might be. Sometimes our biggest battle is within ourselves. And in that war, we might not be wearing a military uniform or a straitjacket or a disguise of some kind. Defeat and surrender come to us because oftentimes we don't even realize who the enemy really is. We might blame other people. We might blame our unhappy childhood or some bitter breakup that we've been through. And sometimes we learn to hide behind this idea of perfection and control. It starts all with that mistaken belief that the more perfect we are, the more good we do, the more we craft our public image, the more people are going to love us and admire us, and the more God might love us too. But nothing could be further from the truth. Because God knows who we are. God knows us better than we know ourselves and still loves us, folks. Nothing and never, nothing cancels out that love, and God never leaves us. I want to close today with an old story, and you've probably heard it before, and if you have, don't stop me because we're on the radio. During the Great Depression, there was a man who had a little sawmill of his own, and he'd haul saw logs back to the mill on a log truck. It was pretty simple. One rainy afternoon, though, he was bringing that load of heavy logs on a slippery dirt road, and that truck and the load slid into the ditch, and the driver, try as he might, couldn't bring the truck out of the ditch. So he walked a little ways down the road and thought he could get a farmer to pull it out with a tractor. And the farmer said to him, "Well, son, I don't have a tractor, but I do have a very fine mule. I call him Old Blue." And the truck driver said, "Well, I doubt that a mule could do the job. I have a heavy load of logs." And the farmer said, "You don't know my mule, Old Blue." So the truck driver decided, "Well, I'll just have to give this a try." And they hitched Old Blue up to the truck. The farmer cracked the whip and said, "Come on, Blue." And Old Blue strained and pulled, but the truck didn't move. And then the farmer cracked the whip again and he shouted, "Come on, Doc." And the truck moved just slightly. And then the farmer cracked the whip again and he shouted, "Come on, Maud." And that old mule pulled and pulled, and suddenly the truck and the load of logs popped out of the ditch and back up onto the road. The trucker was amazed. And he thanked the farmer and he said, "You mind if I ask you a question? Why did you call that old mule by three different names?" And the farmer said, "Son, Old Blue is blind. And if he knew that he was the only mule pulling out that load, your truck would still be in the ditch." You know, we are greatly empowered, aren't we? When we know and trust that there are other people struggling with burdens in their lives too. We all need help, don't we? Getting out of the ditch. We all need somebody that's pulling with us or pulling for us. And the good news, congregation, is this: we're not in this alone. And the even better news, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a living divine community. And that community is filled with power and love. They're one. And this great three-in-one dances and sings with love and power through all time and space. So let's rejoice. Through the mighty power of the Trinity, you and I are saved, and nothing can stand in God's way. With the power of our sisters and brothers, we're never alone. Nothing, never. Happy Father's Day. Let us pray. We confess, Lord, that we really can't handle the big battles of life alone. We ask your help as we begin the process of forgiving people who've hurt us. Help us as we try to carry heavy loads. Teach us to love people we do not like. do not agree with. Teach us to love people who are enemies that we would far rather hate, and friends who've been careless in their relationship with us. When we reach the end of our strength, Lord, give us loving friends to help us. And when the time comes in which human beings cannot help, we pray that you will be our strength and our guide. Amen. Will the ushers now please come forward for the morning offering? Please join with me in our prayer of dedication. God of glory, who as three persons creates, redeems, and sustains all that we are and all that we have, receive these gifts and the offering of our lives as the Holy Spirit came upon your apostles and each of us. We are moved to share from our abundance to further your kingdom throughout the world. As Jesus was lifted up from the earth, draw us to your heart, that all creation may be brought from darkness into light and from death to life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. Please remain standing for our closing hymn, How Great Thou Art.